me pray?
You can go.
All right, cool. Jesus, thanks for this gathering of people. Thank you for your faithfulness, for everyone arriving here safely. Lord, I ask that you would bless this time, that we would learn together, that we would really give everything to you, God. And I think about your verse, your word that says, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I ask that this would be that, God, that we would not view it as mundane or icky or without intent, God, but that we would direct everything to you, to your glory, because this is kingdom building work. So help us to recognize that, to live that out. Thank you for the encouragement that this morning has already been. And I ask divinely by you that that would continue and that we'd be faithful in that. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. What's up?
We're
going to be like super interactive. Josh and I planned this out so thoroughly. And we've practiced this, we've rehearsed. And in fact, I got a text from this guy named Sam Byers, and he's like, hey, do you want to do this teaching event thing? And I was like, sure, I guess. And he's like, cool. And I said, let me get my friend Josh Eaton, because I think we could powwow this and it's going to be even more fruitful, which was me just being like, man, that sounds really nerve-wracking. I want a guy with me to like burn in the fire. And so I meet with Josh. I'm like, dude, what do you think about this? And Josh goes, he's like, yeah, I think I could do that. Sounds good. And then the next day, our faces are on the Twin Rivers Association page. And we're like, well, looks like we're doing it. So, yeah. Here we are. Yeah, so.
Voluntold.
Yeah. Sam's a cool dude. I'll take it. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. So, digital media in the church world. And we are not Drake and Josh. This will show you how high tech we are. We are, you ready? It happens fast. We are Jake and Josh. Okay. So, see? Yeah, that took me far. That took me far too long to make. I figured. Do you guys know Drake and Josh? How many of you watch the show?
Okay.
It's wonderful. It's
how's it just us? Just people really want to get that joke, I guess.
Right. Yeah, there you go. So, I think maybe we could introduce, and I say maybe, is that we haven't practiced this, rehearsed this so thoroughly, but maybe introduce ourselves and kind of our credentials, if you will, because if we're just random people up here talking, that, you know, you're going to be questioning, like, well, where are you getting this from? So Josh is going to start. Introduce yourself. Go for it.
Yeah, my name is Josh Eaton. I have been on staff in the church world for about a decade, working at North Road Church now for close to 8 years in the media department, communications department. So for the first 6 years that I was there, I managed everything between website, socials, video, photo, graphic design for print media, billboards, all of it. So I kind of handled everything and pitched for quite a while to bring on somebody like Jake here. And then thankfully this year, or end of last year, he was hired on at North Road as well to take a little bit off my plate so I could focus more on the graphic side of thing, and he could take more of the video side of thing from me. So now thankful we get to work as a team together at North Road.
We're a team. So sweet. So
yeah,
special.
So very sweet.
So special. Yeah, so like he said, I've been at North Road for going on a year. But being honest, this is my first job having the title. It's like digital communications director. So I've never done a job like that. Now, that said, I got to back up just a little bit with my background. I was in sales and customer service forever. And that's like a myriad of different jobs that I worked. So sales, customer service, that means I get to talk to really happy people all the time. So I learned how to communicate well. And to make people feel that they're great and wonderful and all these things, even if I'm just like smiling with a fake smile. I worked for Verizon. I was very successful at it, very successful at sales and just moving the store along. I was kind of like a revitalizer, and my bosses were like, dude, you're gonna do great things. Keep going. I'm like, yeah, but you know what? You're starting to work me on Sundays. And we talked about this. I can't do that. And they're like, oh, it's fine, because you're gonna make this much money. And I'm like, well, no, I can't. I'll do that if you want me to, but give me Sundays off. And they're like, well, now you're in a position where we can't afford that to you. And I'm like, okay, I quit. So I just walked away from it. I say that only because sales and conversions and marketing and leveraging, all those words we're going to talk about today. So even though I've never been a digital communications director, I feel like most of my adult life is actually built to this job. Now, alongside all of those things, my wife, Brooke, and I own a photo film business. We've been doing weddings and family sessions, and we're kind of getting into commercial work as well. We've done that professionally for almost 10 years now. So that's where I got a lot of my photo and my video chops from. And that directly has been managing social media, networking, all that stuff, right? Because to run a small business, you have to play the game. You just do. So we're gonna talk about some of those tools. Let's see what we got. The big picture, here we go. Good transition. That's Emperor Cusco holding the camera. You guys have never seen the Emperor's New Groove. We're not here to overwhelm you, so we're not gonna give you all the ins and outs, okay? You might show up to hear those things, but this isn't the time and place for that because there's too many layers to it. And always, strategy is greater than the tools. We are gonna talk mostly on some of the strategy that we have used and really have changed. I mean, what, just since June-ish, July, something like that? Like a big change, a big pivot? And we'll see some of the results. Communication equals connection. So I mentioned Verizon. The way that I did sales well was just talking to people, living out the fruits of the Spirit. You know, like sales doesn't have to be icky because you're just meeting people where their needs are at, right? So it's the same thing in our space. What do people need? Okay, church question. What do people need, you guys?
Jesus,
that's it. Like, it sounds Sunday school, but like that is people's greatest need, is a savior. So that's what it's about. Also, quantity is not the same as consistency. So the information we're gonna give you is not gonna be like, post this many times a week. Now, we are gonna talk about that, but you can post once a week and you're gonna still see really fruitful things, okay? We good? We're good. Here we go. The big picture, clear, consistent, and human. Churches don't need to be everywhere in the social media space. Prime example, I can't stand TikTok. I don't like it. A lot of churches use it. Cool. If it works, it works. TikTok's really good for making things go viral, but not locally viral. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it would be awesome if one of our posts on TikTok was really just gospel hammered and that thing got millions of views. That's good. Praise the Lord. But we're going to be focusing mostly on how to have your socials drive traffic to your place of worship. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, like, we're going to be consistent, we're going to be clear, we're going to be human and organic. What do you think, and this is Q&A, kind of talking back and forth, what do you think clear means? What's it mean to be clear? Anybody? Any takers? Yeah, Trisha, you raised your pen. What do you think it means to be clear? she does this. What do you think?
Really outgoing pen.
Yeah.
I think clear means that...
And there can be wrong
clear
answers.
Clear means okay. Clear. Clear basically means, I'll tell you what's not clear. What's not clear is when someone's like, come to this thing.
Yes.
And there's no time, there's no date. Correct. I don't really know what it's about. Sure. There's some really cool graphics. Mm-hmm. But I really have no idea of really what they're even trying to intend to do or who it's you know. Sure. So that's unclear.
That's unclear. Good. Any other? Well, hey, you raised your, you scratched your eye. Yes.
Go for it.
Yeah. OB, go for it.
So I guess depending on whose perspective and for social media, thinking about clarity, what an outsider, someone who's not connected, they want to know, I think, what does the place look like? What should I expect to see, experience? Yeah. What do you believe? What do you offer? I have a felt need.
Yeah.
What do you have that could help meet that felt need? Things like that.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, both really good answers. The clarity that we're driving, it's behind our mission and in our church DNA. So again, I'm going to repeat this probably the whole presentation, but what's our mission? Jesus, to show Christ magnified to the people. Okay, and we're doing that through, so if Trisha's like, you know, you mentioned events and stuff, like, well, what's going on? We're not going to lead with events. We're going to lead with Christ first, and then we're going to give you that clarity and that information. But the thing we want to have clear first and foremost is who Christ is and why you need him. Okay. And then consistent. How about consistent? What's that mean? Well, we do, I mean, probably 2 to 3 posts per week. We actually kind of built out this whole roadmap of what that was going to look like. And we were pretty rigid with it. But now there's just some kind of ups and downs. Some days we might miss the three post week of March. Some weeks we might
do six.
Sometimes we do six. But at least weekly is a great starting place. Okay. How many of you do not have a photo video guy on staff and a graphics guy on staff? How many of you do not have both of those? Okay. How many of you have neither one? Like, you don't have any of those options, because that, so it's budget, right? It's either budget or you just haven't filled that need. How many of you wear some of these hats? Like, you do that. Okay, cool. Perfect. So all of this is scalable. Everything we're going to go over. We North Road, I mean, we've been rocking like 2,000 people, which is awesome. Like, Jesus is going to use that, and it's great. But it doesn't matter if you're rocking 100 people. I come from a church called Ramsey Creek Baptist Church. That was my home church. Anyone familiar with Ramsey Creek? Yeah, there we go. It's a solid church, 200-year-old Southern Baptist, Bible-believing church, right? And there's like 100 people there, and they're faithful. It's good. So, consistency. And then human, organic, that side of it, that's what people want to feel. They want to feel a connection to whatever you're displaying, okay? We'll get into what that means later. Oh, Micah.
What if you're around the day?
Bob Feeler knows that. He's like, yeah, probably is Micah. Topics for the day. We're going to talk about live stream. That's one of the big things we'll focus on. Websites and branding, and then social media, a big chunk of that as well. Live stream. This is my wheelhouse. Josh, you don't have much to do with that, because although you work for North Road, he is on campus at Soma Church. So there's some funny back and forth banter there. So why do a live stream? Why would we do it? To extend your reach. It's just another arm of ministry, right? It's for people who are homebound, who maybe they're sick that day, or maybe there's a permanent ailment or something that prevents them from getting to a place of worship. Travelers. Actually, you know what? I put that one on there. I don't even know what that means.
If they're out of town.
If they're out of town, there we go. Thank you. And then seekers peeking in. So someone who wants to visit your church, doesn't know what it's about, they will watch your live stream. They will. They're not going to waste their time, because people are so freaking busy that they don't want to give up 2 seconds, right? But they will if they can do it from their couch and just, while food's being cooked, see what's going on at North Road or your place of worship, right? Something to remember. Here's a big thing. Your live stream does not equal discipleship, okay? It's a front door. It's not a church. So if your goal is to get your live stream up and running, and you're like, well, wait a minute, maybe we don't even need to gather anymore. No, that's not the point of a live stream, okay? Just want to make sure that's crystal clear. Here's some of our data. I want to explain clearly that big numbers does not mean big successes, okay? So we are going to talk about numbers a lot, but just know that all of that is scalable. That's what I want to focus on, is the scalability of a strategy. Okay, so September, I think, was our biggest month that we've ever had. This number total, that's how many people watched our live stream throughout the course of September. That's pretty staggering, 1,200 people. Now, that doesn't sound like millions that you would expect on like a YouTube video going viral or something, but in the church space, we're super happy with that, because there's growth. October's not done yet, that's why it's
Number, uh-huh. So that, how are you guys live streaming it? Like Facebook, YouTube?
Yeah.
Like,
so, bless you. So this data, is my mouse up there? Can you
yep.
see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, okay. See, yeah.
So this was launches, I think, through Subsplash on iOS?
So we use Subsplash, which is a church management software. So it's similar to Planning Center. If any of y'all use Planning Center at North Road, we are currently using Subsplash. And we live stream through that. And so we launch our live stream through Subsplash, and then it goes to YouTube and Facebook are the two places. Okay.
It is live streaming through Subsplash. Yep. So, and Josh actually does know quite a bit about this, because he's built a lot of those tools and framework around that. So there's going to be a time at the end, too, when we post a lot of our resources on the board. I'm going to say, get your phones out, take a picture of it. Okay, so we'll recap these things. 318 people one Sunday in September tuned on. Boom. That's an entire church, or churches, depending on the size of your congregation. That's why this is important, and it's pretty crazy to think how God can utilize technology. Now, 318, it's actually not how many people, that's how many devices were turned on watching. So realistically, let's multiply that by 4. Let's say it's a family, a mom, dad, a couple kids at home. So that could potentially be 1,200 people tuning in to hear the gospel. That's huge. That's a really big opportunity. And as we know, we agree with this, we should. One soul is worth it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What actually matters? Again, clarity over flashiness. Which this is funny to me because I love nice looking video. I'm big into cinema. I love making movies. My wedding films, if you go, brookeandjacob.com, go follow us, give us a like, all that stuff. But if you look at what I do and my experience and my skill set and all that stuff, I'm big on video. But what actually matters is that we're clear with our audio so people can hear the message being proclaimed. I don't care if they appreciate like the cool lens flare in the background that's going on behind our worship pastor. I do. I'm like, that's sick looking. But none of that matters compared to, is it heard? Can they hear it? Okay?
People get to the message and they can't understand anything that the pastor's yeah. saying. They're gonna turn right. off
pretty quick. Right. And we've had like tech hiccups and stuff where the live stream went down. Okay, and then we go on Facebook and I'll say, hey, tech issues, we'll be back up ASAP. And then by the time we get it booted back up, that number of viewership just went down and down and down and down because people are too busy, right? They don't want to stick around for the hiccups. So clarity. Stability over perfection. Is your stream stable? Is your schedule consistent? So do your viewers know when your live stream's going to hit? It should, because it should be on a timer. Okay, how many of you live stream? Do you use a timer? Does it auto launch all that stuff? Okay. Or maybe that's just you hit and record on your cell phone at the same time every Sunday. Guess what? It works. And you'll even see that in a second. Accessibility. Maybe put captions. Maybe. YouTube, do they auto populate?
I think it might post. I don't know if it does it during.
It doesn't do, yeah, I don't think it does it during the live stream, but I don't know. There's mixed thoughts on this.
Some people. Does.
Your YouTube does live? Okay, then ours probably does too. I don't know. I don't watch the live stream usually because I'm running the live stream.
It's not 100% accurate, but it does it.
Sure. So captions, maybe do that. Definitely for worship time, you can either stream the graphic that has the worship lyrics going on at the same time, or you could embed worship lyrics into your streaming platform.
Lower thirds.
Yeah. So make sure it's easy to find and easy to access. Click on the Facebook, it's right there at the top. Go to our YouTube page, it's right there. Practical tips, start simple. This is what I was saying, use a phone and a tripod. That's what Ramsey Creek was live streaming. We did that during like the COVID fiasco thing, whatever, right? We just had a phone, a tripod, boom, hit record. It's better than nothing, really is. Train volunteers, how many of you have volunteers? Okay, they should be your bread and butter. Right. If we are wanting to be the hands and feet of Jesus and we instill that culture in our people, then that's a really practical way to do it. Okay. This is ministry. Can we agree to that? Social media, live stream, marketing, all that stuff should be ministry. The word leverage comes to mind, but we really are using our tools to leverage. Paul, the apostle, he utilized, 400 something miles in his sandals. Those were his tools. And he was a tent maker to fuel his ministry. We just live in a different age. So Paul may have done things like this. I don't know. He could have, right? Use live stream to point back to in-person community, which is what it's all about. That's one of Josh's songs. If you look him up on Spotify.
Now we know why Jacob wanted to make the presentation. Yeah. We get it now.
Take it away, buddy.
All right, so now we're going to touch on websites and why they are important.
I could have left it going, man, because this sounded good the whole time.
You could have.
I could have.
So websites are the digital front door of your church. So your website is often the new front door of your church. 99%. It's like basically everyone who is going to come to your church. New guests are going to visit your website or social media before they ever attend in person. The age that we live in is much different than it was even a decade ago. And if you have a website, if you have social media, a lot of people are going to go to Google. They're going to type in churches near me. And if you're going to pop up towards the top, they're going to click on you and look at your stuff. And if they feel like it is a place that they can belong, it's a place that meets them where they're at, that it's a place that they agree with biblically, then they're probably going to come and check you out if it checks all of these boxes for them. So making sure that your website is up to date. We're going to talk on a lot of these things in a second, but feels welcoming, engaging, is real pictures of real people. These things are all really important. So first impressions are now made online and not necessarily in your lobby. Here, I'll go back real quick. We need to take some pictures. Go a little slower. Yeah, so having a good website is really, really important for getting somebody to actually show up at your church on a weekend. So the primary audience of your website should be your guests. And I know this is a little interesting because I think that even for myself, when I first got into the church world, working in here with websites, the first website I ever built was geared towards our people. What are our people's needs at our church on a Sunday? And how can I build that out to really meet them where they're at? But as I have worked in the church world for the last 10 years, I know that the website is a tool for so many new guests to show up on a Sunday. And so making them the primary audience is incredibly important. So the main target for your website isn't members, but it is future guests. Because members already know things like service time. They already know your ministries. They already know what your beliefs are. They're members. They've already gone through all of those things. So making sure that you gear your website to cater to first-time guests is really important. These are some questions that guests are asking. When and where do you meet? What should I expect? And will I feel welcomed there? So I mean, these are three really big questions that you can take back and look at your own church. How do I answer these for my specific congregation on a Sunday? And how can I reflect that through a website build? Good?
Good. Next one.
So what every church website absolutely needs. It needs the basics and make them as obvious as you possibly can. So service times are incredibly important. If you want people to show up, they need to know when you meet. They need address, driving directions. What to expect, a snapshot of what Sunday could look like. A lot of people, especially in the post-COVID era, are living with a lot of anxiety and uncertainty, and people are doing their research. So giving them a snapshot as to what a Sunday morning could look like for you is really, really important so that they show up at your doors feeling as comfortable as possible their very first time. A connect card or a plan your visit form. So again, to hit on the last point, if people are going to show up for the first time, giving them a means to connect with you maybe beforehand, maybe ask some questions, just to feel as comfortable as possible before they show up. Have your beliefs on there. Ministries, so that they know where they can belong at your church. A staff page. Spaces build trust with new people.
Yep.
And then what's key is if someone has to dig for the info, they just won't. We're in a 3-second goldfish kind of, yeah.
Yeah, if I may interject real quick.
Yeah.
So when he's talking about the basics, this is make them obvious. So things like service times, website, all those things, what lingo or verbiage do you think we would see on a website? If we want people to know our service times, what would be present on the website? What would it say?
Like ask the question that they're asking.
Yeah, it would actually just say service times. Okay, it would actually just say our address. It would say what to expect. All these bullet points is what you're going to find on a website. You should.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make it super obvious and clear because, I mean, like, okay, in my photography, videography business, we have to assume that people know nothing and we have to dumb it down for everybody. That's what clarity is, really. I know it sounds insulting, but just assume the worst, and then you plan and plan and plan for the best, okay? So
yeah, and obviously we know the answers. We live and breathe it every single weekend, but a lot of people who are going to show up have no idea of what we offer and what we're about. So making it as clear as possible for people is really important.
I wonder what ministries they offer. Okay, they should see the word ministries. It should be bold and up at the top, like just saying.
So yeah. The connect card or plan a visit form, so they fill that out, and you guys get that, right? Mm-hmm. Let me just ask, I mean, is that, do a lot of people fill those out?
Yeah, we have a lot of people who fill out the Connect cards, and specifically at Northroad, I'd say we have upwards of 10 every week. Some people fill them out before they ever show up. Some people fill them out once they're there and they've experienced the service, and then they go fill it out to have a follow-up conversation with the pastor or somebody in leadership to get connected and take a next step. So
we still have, like, at our church, we have, like, the actual,
sitting in
the pews.
We do too.
You still have that too?
Yeah, we do it both ways. We have a digital and physical Connect card just to, for people who feel better about writing it out and people who are more tech savvy, it checks both boxes.
We want to get, now these are expensive, but the little stickers that go on the back of the chairs or they bolted on.
Oh, yeah. They got them both ways.
Yeah. The paper cards got the little
QR code and you scan it.
Yep.
What would a plan your visit look like? Would that be like for parents of children, parents of youth, or what? I mean, how do you structure that?
So a plan your visit, my arm doesn't extend past that button that they click because the connect or the plan your visit goes to who would intercept that? Would that be
Ellie? Ellie's taking, So Ellie is our first impressions director at North Road. And for the plan your visit kind of things, they're checking boxes like, what are needs that we can meet on a Sunday morning? Like, do you have kids? Do you have youth?
Mm-hmm.
It answers some questions like that, and it allows the people at the welcome desk the opportunity to know you, know who you are, know your name, and know when you're going to show up, so that that Sunday they can be prepared to greet you, to accommodate you. And they've already, it helps with the comfortability of a person showing up for the first time who may not know anyone in the church. And they already know, I've already spoke with Ellie, I've already told them what they need, they've reached back out to me, I've already had a phone call, and it just helps them feel that much more comfortable when they step foot in your place for the very first time. So yeah, it's just an extra step of engagement to make sure that people...
Yep. So you're connecting with them before they ever walk in the building.
Correct, and Soma is doing something similar. We're using a company called Visitor Reach, which we're going to touch on at the end. It's a, it's a tool that we've got at the end, but it's a marketing platform that we use that puts us in texting conversations with a ton of people in our area who are looking for a church, who have questions about who Jesus is, who just need prayer. It puts us in contact with them, and then we have a bunch of conversations before the lover show up, and we ask them questions like which Sunday they're going to be at, so we know exactly, and we're able to meet them at the door, already having all of this information from these conversations before they ever step foot in our building. So anything that you can do to make people feel as welcome as possible is really important. The key again at the bottom, if someone has to dig for info, they just won't. Again, we're in like the people, the average viewership on videos on socials is like 3 seconds. That's really all the time that we have to make an impression. And if people are going and they're digging for information on your website, usually it's 2 to 3 clicks is as many as they're going to take to find information. Mm-hmm. If your information isn't easily accessible within 2 to 3 clicks, they're going to exit off the page and not look anymore.
Correct.
Just the culture that we live in now.
Yep.
So why this matters now more than ever. So pre-COVID, it takes 3 to 5 personal invites before someone was to visit a church. And now post-COVID, it takes 12 to 15 personal invitations on average before someone ever shows up to your church, which is a crazy staggering number that I didn't even know that I believed at first. It's like, how am I going to invite somebody 12 times? Like, at some point you feel pretty annoying, but social media and
all the touch points.
Yeah, all the touch points, website, those plan your visit things, all of those little things add up over time. And this is, again, a culture shift that I think us in the church have to make to just make sure that our people are pushing the gospel out in our communities and aggressively inviting people on Sundays and sharing the gospel with people, because it does take so many more touches. Now people are much more skeptical now than they even were five years ago. And so people are cautious to do their research first. And as people are being invited, as your people are being faithful to go share the gospel and invite people to Sundays, a lot of the time they're going to look up your website or your socials as a last final confirmation step before they actually step foot here. So making sure that your website really reflects is up to date with who you are and what you believe, so that those people finally feel comfortable at the very end to actually show up on Sunday is really, really important.
Sure.
So what makes a good church website? We need to make sure that it's inviting, that it's warm, clear visuals that reflect your church's personality and brand. Make sure that your colors are present. Make sure that there's photos of worship, and that there are photos of your kids' ministry, of things that are actually taking place here, that your logos and your colors, and that the wording that you're using is really warm and inviting as well, informative, that there's key details without clutter. Again, that we're not burying things 4 pages deep. Mm-hmm. People have to click on a bunch of different stuff to find information, but that it's right there in front of them. That it's mobile friendly, and this is something that I had to learn as well. The first couple websites for churches that I built, I started with doing the desktop version, made sure it looked really good there, and then I kind of just went over to the mobile version and tweaked things a little bit to make sure that it looks good. But I really think that it's more so like the 80 or even more percent of visitors are browsing from their phones first to check out your space. So making sure that it is mobile friendly and that it works well from your phone is really, really important. And then easy navigation, again, simple menu, clear call to actions, plan your visit, watch online, that these things are really, really obvious what their next steps are, how they can get involved at your church. And then design-wise, and we're going to talk about branding here in just a second, but design is hospitality. For a clean and a thoughtful website is the digital equivalent of a warm handshake at your door. So these are some photos that I took and that Jacob took, some from Soma, some from North Road.
Josh, she looks really nice. She looks really friendly.
Yeah, that's my wife. She is very nice. So clear photos of real people that are part of your congregation is really important. People that they might even show up on a Sunday and get to interact with, greeters at the door, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Friendly tone of voice, again, welcoming imagery and welcoming color palette for your brand. I'll give you guys a second. think that was the last point. A simple next steps. Again, join us this Sunday. Plan your visit.
A lot of this is just going to be reiterated because we want those things to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Just saying.
And then the goal of your website is to get the right information to the right person at the right time. It's not about impressing people. It's not about having the most flashy, cool website where as you scroll down, there's a bunch of these transitions. It's not about all of that, but it's about removing as many barriers as possible to get the information to the people who need it. The easier it is to take the next step, again, the more likely they are to take that next step.
Yep.
Now, touching on brand recognition. Why brand recognition matters. Brand recognition isn't about marketing for profit. And I know we think about marketing in the church world, it just feels a little bit icky. Going back to what Jacob said, the thing that we're trying to sell is the gospel to people. And so there's nothing icky about that. And it's taking your brand and making it as clear and consistent as possible. Because a strong church brand communicates who we are, communicates what we believe, and why it matters to you. So a clear brand, again, communicates this is who we are, and this is who we represent. It builds trust. Here, I'll go back real quick. Sorry, some of you taking pictures. My bad. I'm sorry. I'm going too quick. It also builds trust and familiarity. This is a really, really big one. Consistency across all of our visuals, and Jacob's going to touch on this in just a couple minutes as it pertains to socials and how we've done that at North Road there. But consistency across visuals, language, and tone builds credibility. People notice when things don't feel cohesive, and it builds confidence in your ministry when things are cohesive. And so if logos are a little out of place and there's like really weird color changes across the board and people don't really like know if this is your church or not because things are changing constantly, just having things as consistent as possible that look the same and people know when they see it, oh, this is that church.
If I could interject real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Josh is talking the whole time and you notice his flies down, you're going to notice it the whole entire presentation. So it's a weird analogy there. No, you're good, bro. You're good. But the same thing, if you're designing a logo or a graphic and you take a photo and there's an element of it that's distracting, you should be saying, well, why did we do that? Oh, we didn't think about it. Oh, well, that's weird. Because I think we're supposed to do things with excellence, right? We need to care about what we're doing. So everything we do.
I'm going
to
hand these out.
Go for it. Everything we do should have a purpose. It should be a reason. Like, well, why did you make that circle that big? Well, I don't know, it just looked cool. Okay, well, did you do it for clarity? Because that needs to be the driving factor, right? Like, if we don't want to get in the way of the gospel, especially. Making sure everything's cohesive, clear. Let's keep going.
Yeah, I'm handing these out, and I was like, I know that this can feel like overkill. For sure, but it's really, really important that every time somebody sees something with the NR, every time somebody sees the North Road blue, that people know exactly what it is and who we are, just based on aesthetics alone. So following these instructions, just creates a sense of trust between our people and us. And they know it. They know that this is North Road. They know what we're about and familiarity.
Yep. And again, all that stuff we read is scalable.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we only do that because we have these cool tools and all these resources. No. It's the stuff that anybody
can start with one icon or whatever logo you have for your church, and then just nailing down the exact colors that you want, the exact fonts that you like to use. Those things are really, really important just to make sure that people know exactly who you are based on how you look. And so that's North Road's exact brand guide. That's the one that myself and all of our staff use between all of our ministries to make sure that all of it feels as cohesive as possible. So next, it extends your reach beyond Sunday. Most people experience your church again online, on your website, on your socials, before they ever show up in person. Consistent branding helps people connect what they see digitally to what they'll feel physically when they show up. That's a really, really big one. So making sure that your socials and your website are communicating and allowing the new guest to feel exactly what they're going to experience on a Sunday when they show up. Every post, every invite, every ad becomes an extension of your message.
Yeah.
Again, just to push the gospel to people. Brand recognition turns digital moments into in-person engagements. It's vital now more than ever to make sure that those things are as clear as possible so that people show up.
It's all about in-person, like getting people back to your community.
Yep, and it creates unity across ministries. So a unified design communicates a unified mission, that the church as a whole is back between the overall mission of the church, and that we are all going in the same direction together. Even though our ministries are separate, even though we're championing different things, we are all moving together in one goal. So it helps every ministry, like kids, students, men's, feel like one church and one family. It eliminates soloed visuals and confusion between ministries, and it shows that what's happening in every age group or space is part of one overall story. And I'm going to give a couple examples of what this looks like. So this is Antioch Church in Troy. So their main logo is a triangle representing the A, and then an X, which it shares multiplication, which is their biggest thing that they're pushing across. And so then taking that same icon, they made their Antioch Kids logo, just a simplified, playful, fun, rounded corners version of their main logo. And then their youth logo, they took the same triangle and put a Y in it instead. Yeah. So every time anybody in Troy sees the triangle logo, they'll know that that is Antioch. So it's simplified between the designs, but overall it all feels the exact same together. And I'm not saying that everybody in here needs to redo all of their logos. That's not what I'm saying, but maybe that's a good starting point to make sure that everything is clear and as consistent as possible.
I think about it with, like McDonald's, for instance. You guys can picture right now the yellow color they use. You can picture the orange or red, like
red.
Yeah, red. You can picture that right now. When you get a kid's meal, do they butcher their branding? No, it's the same.
It all stays yellow.
Right, it stays yellow and orange, but it's fun. It's in a little kid's box. So the bottom left obviously looks more fun and stuff because it's kids, right? That's how we gear it towards.
Yeah, and their color palette is gauged towards kind of an earthy vibe. And so going down here to kids, they've kind of taken that same concept and just played it up to make it more fun for kids. The same kind of concept with the youth. Another church that does this, I made the logos for Soma Church. Same kind of thing, thumbprint. Fingerprint is their main logo, and then they've also used the same thing for kids ministry. It's just a more playful, fun fingerprint. And then in the Soma Students logo, they've kept the same kind of swivels that are in the thumbprint logos and put that into an S for their student ministry. So again, the brand feels consistent. You see it, you know what it is. It all kind of meshes together well. It honors the gospel through excellence. So excellent in design reflects intentionality, and it reflects care. We're not trying to glorify design, but we're trying to clarify the message. A thoughtful brand removes distractions so that Christ can stay central. If people, again, as you were talking about, if there's things in photos or designs and just like looks off and it's distracting, that's the last thing that we want, because we want Christ to stay central. We want people to experience him and believe the gospel for themselves. And clear communication honors God by making the gospel easy to see and easy to understand for our people. Let every design point to Jesus. Again, this is, Jacob's going to touch as far as social media goes, that this is how, since June, we've kind of approached social media throughout, but brand recognition equals clarity of mission made visible. It builds trust, reinforces your purpose, and unites your people, amplifies your reach. A consistent brand doesn't make the church flashy, just makes the message as clear as possible for your people. We're on to it.
Are we?
Ooh, let's continue. Oh, we're on to critique here. I'll swap you.
Okay, thank you. Abs of steel.
Oh, not even.
No one laughed, so they must have believed me. So good. Here we go. These millions of tabs, I use them every day, and it's frustrating. Okay, so this is our website, and I'll tell you right now, I don't like a lot of it. There's some objective reasons, there's some subjective reasons I could tell you. We are in the process of launching a whole new website. It's almost done, right?
Yeah.
But things that we have talked about. Okay, so ministries, that should be clear. About, that should be clear. Get connected. Now, picky for me, it's like we have all these options buried within these menus. There's a ton to read through. And your average person isn't going to go through every single thing and try to read to find the exact thing that they are looking for. But your main page, your landing page, should be crystal clear and bulletproof. There shouldn't be anything confusing. So like Life on Purpose, that's kind of our, what I guess, our mission statement,
slogan,
if you will. Learn more about Northrop. You should be able to click that and you're going to find stuff about Northrop, right? Micah, they're back again. You evaded me. Saying. Plan your visit. Okay, visit us. Guess what? If I'm going to plan my visit to the church, maybe I should click this button. Visit us. It's there. Here's a reason. This is, we're kind of at the tail end of this, so maybe this wouldn't be on here anymore. Northrop Academy, maybe showing some of our stuff.
Yeah, that's a find a different place for it. But
yeah, maybe find a different place. Here's our latest message. I noticed, service times is like, it's like buried down at the bottom. right? It's not even on the main thing. And I think with the new website, that stuff is on our
landing page. Yeah, that stuff's at the very top.
Right. When I say landing page, that's your homepage. When they click one button, boom, where do they go to? The main page of the website. We want all of this to be crystal clear and at the forefront, because most people are not going to go, well, where is that at? They just don't want to waste their time doing that, right?
And we've got all that information currently within the Plan Your Visit tab on that, this second thing here. Okay. If you click that button, that's where a lot of our stuff is housed currently.
Okay. Yep. So come and plan your visit. We're so grateful. Saturday evening service, Sunday services, one of our 8 a.m. What is this? It's here. Oh. Or one of our 8 a.m. or 11:30 Sunday services. See, that makes it seem like there's only two service times.
Well, we're talking about the green ones specifically at North Road, with how many people we've been experiencing.
Oh,
we've added this on there just for new guests to be the most comfortable that they possibly can be to come to one of the Saturday night's earliest Sunday or latest Sunday service. Yeah. And so that is something we've added there as well. But
me, I was just clicking to scan. I think most people are just going to click and they're going to try to scan and find what they need. I was genuinely confused.
Yeah.
Like real time, I was like, what is this? What? No, we have like four services. Why is it? So maybe there's more clarity that we could add, right?
Yeah.
But again, we're moving to a new website. So all that, just crystal clear messaging, branding, keep it simple, direct people exactly where you want them to go.
Who hosts your website?
Is it Subsplash?
Subsplash.
Yeah. Yep. Social media. Here we go. What time? Yes. What's that?
You all like Subsplash?
You take
this. So we are about to move away from Subsplash. North Road is. There's some stuff that Planning Center does better. When you have as many people as that are showing up, it's way easier to manage that many people on the Planning Center side of things. They've got a couple more features on the back end that are easier for us to operate from a staffing perspective, just to be able to know people better. Subsplash, from a smaller church perspective, we use Subsplash at Soma, and I think it meets our needs really, really well for a 100-ish person church on a Sunday. And Subsplash is coming out every couple months with a lot of new features that are really, really good, and I think they're trying to overall get to where Planning Center is at. They do some things really well, like you're able to have your own branded app, and your small groups can communicate through those. There's some really good things that Subsplash does. Planning Center does some of those things. And they're starting to come out with your own branded apps, which was one of the biggest things before. It was the Church Center app. And then you have to go in and kind of find which. It was like 18% church engagement if you were using a focal point like that was actually using, as opposed to like 90+ if your church had their own branded app. It's actually being used by our congregation. That was one of the biggest reasons that we went with Subsplash, so that we could have the app so that our members felt like one big church together, rather than in separate. We wanted the engagement to be as high as possible there, which was one of the reasons, but overall allowed some people to fall kind of through the cracks there. The Planning Center isn't allowing for those same kind of things. So as part of the new website build, app build, we're pushing towards Planning Center over Subsplash, but depending on your congregation side, I think Subsplash has exactly what you needed, probably even a little bit more. For Soma, it's been excellent. So,
So you guys will have you'll have Subsplash at Soma. North Road, you'll have
North Road will have Planning Center that we're going to be using.
Yep.
Cost variation, how much difference as far as the cost?
It depends on the package that you're using, because I first learned about Subsplash at North Road because we wanted a new platform to host our live stream and to be able to categorize all of our sermons, and their sermon archive on Subsplash is excellent. It looks really, really good. It's easy to embed on whatever website you're using. So if you're using Squarespace or Wix, or if you wanted to build a Subsplash website, it all integrates really seamlessly. So that was one of the first things that turned me on to Subsplash, and then we kind of just got the ball rolling in there to use them in their entirety.
And just for the sake of time, those are deep dive layer questions. I'm not saying that to cut you, but I'm still looking at the time and we're like, oh crap, we got a lot more to go. All of that stuff will be buried in resources at the end, and you're going to get our emails too. We'll share that stuff, so please absolutely,
if there's questions, if you're thinking about switching from one of these to another or anything else, you can email us or give us a call, whatever is easiest.
We'll give you some info.
Yeah, for sure.
We're good. What is the purpose? Jesus. So, not just announcements, storytelling and discipleship, touch points, sharing the gospel. The not just announcements, we're going to get to a little bit of a deep dive, because that's probably the single biggest pivot that we've made with our socials since a certain time frame. A place to meet people where they're at. Okay, so this is how you use your socials effectively. You do a post, and I was the first person to comment. Okay, so on Northroads account, I said the world's looking for something, for hope, truth, answers. They can only be found in the name of Jesus. Repent, believe, and follow. Which that comment reflected whatever it was. It may have been a video, it may have been a photo, it may have been a graphic. I don't know, but all I was doing was kind of expounding upon that, right? And then I got this lady, Megan, and she's asking questions and she's engaging. And then I'm actually being really intentional. I probably stopped. I probably prayed for her. Okay, if you're not doing that, I think you're really missing the mark. Truly. I'm saying that to convict you guys, really. Like, think about it. If that'd be like a pastor, which this might be too high of a title, but I would say we are pastors in a sense. In the digital space, we are. We should shepherd and do that well, right? So this is how you do it. I'm not going to drive to Megan's house and meet with her, but sure, if I'm 2 seconds away from doing this and typing up a message and stopping to pray for her, I'm going to do that, okay? More examples. I said, after I did a comment, how can we pray for you this week? What are some praiseworthy things that have happened? We'd love to hear about them. Rebecca Duncan's going, boom, 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 boom. Okay? It's authentic. It's real, right? And it's very clear. And this was the post. It actually, Unshakable Hope with Trisha and Jane. Like and follow. Okay? But this is good engagement. 86 people liking that. The shares are huge. That's if people share your content, that's what propels it and gets more eyeballs on it. But it had 24 comments. That's a lot for a church post. And I say a lot relative to what we usually see. But people are just like, yeah, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. So that day, I think I was sitting at my kitchen island. It was just bing, bing, bing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, pray again. Okay, so I start praying for Don. I start praying for Josh. Start all these people. And I'm taking the time to reply to these people. Okay, I'm going to go and do that. And if I can't get to it right away, I should definitely still take the time to go back to that. Because these are sheep, right? Or people that need to be sheep, okay? What really works, authenticity, is greater than polish. Real faces, not stock photos. I'm gonna put a caveat there, so if you disagree, please let me know. But if you have the ability to just have a camera or just have your phone and take pictures of your people, please do that. If you don't have a bougie, fancy graphic designer, use free resources, okay? Use Canva. Try to make your own. Do what you will to put clear messaging and branding out there without having to spend buku bucks on a guy like Josh Eaton. He's so expensive. Are you like half a mil a year? Is that your salary?
A little more
than that? Okay, sorry. Micah.
That's just soul aside.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, Micah's putting the bill there. He's such a nice guy. Consistency is greater than volume. 3 thoughtful posts a week is greater than 12 scattered ones. But really the thing you should be following is no weeks off, which I think Brady Shear coined that term, right? No weeks off. We're not going to take any weeks off. And he probably quoted someone else. We'll get to Brady Shear in a moment. Share the gospel. Social media is ministry, for crying out loud. It has to be. If not, you're wasting your time. Okay, so now we're going to get to some of the stats. All of this is going to be scalable. From June 1st of 2025 to the end of June, that's a month, these were our numbers. Now, ignore the red. That's still going to be relative to like a previous month or something. But I just picked this month because this was right before we changed our strategy entirely. And you're going to see in a second what the numbers can do. So even though you're like, oh man, 40,000 people viewed it, cool, whatever. It's all relative to your size, right? So your awesome number might be 100 people on your socials. Cool. Like, praise the Lord. He's going to use whatever number he can to do his will, right? So once we changed what we were doing and how we were doing it and thinking about those things, we went from this number range to this.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just looking at the one metric, 40,000 views to 181,000 views. It was up 350%. 3 second views, which Josh touched on, like that's, people are going to watch your stuff for 3 seconds and they're either going to like it and keep watching it or be gone. Up 330, up 350, up this one, content interactions, huge, 867%. Okay. This was all organic. None of this was paid. None of it. We did not dump any money into our efforts here. We just re-strategized. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to what we did in just a moment here. Here's another one. And I strategically picked April to June. So what's important about April to June in the church world?
Easter.
Easters? Easters. Is there Mother's Day in there?
Yep.
Is that a big bump? Yeah, you usually do. How about Father's Day? Is that in there? Yep, you usually see a big bump. Okay. So we had, between those three 3 months? Yeah, math. I was an English teacher. I didn't say that, not a math teacher. We had 177 new followers, which is huge. Okay, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
177 new people following our content. But then, when we changed our strategy, another 3 month span, the next month, July through September, all these numbers went up. 92% increase, 170%, 451 engaged followers, which is big. Those are people that are sticking with your content and they're interacting. And then the net follows in those 3 months, I keep clicking. Instead of the 177, in the next 3 months, it jumped to 323.
And we implemented this, we're about to talk about strategy in a second, but we implemented the same strategy on Soma's social media as well, and our Instagram page grew from 125-ish followers to 185 in like the same time frame.
Yeah. So it's all scale. It's all relative, yes. Right? So what changed? What did we do? I'm going to show you some things that are a little subjective. I'm going to show you some things that some of it you probably can't replicate it because I take photos for a living, so I probably know more things about cameras than people who don't, right? I take videos for a living, but I want you to ignore that portion and focus on
just the
probably the more important things that were way more important things than the aesthetics, okay? And we'll get to that in a second. Our Instagram, we went from this, okay? So I want you to tell me, just looking at this, what is our church about? I know I've cropped it, I've cut some of the things off, but what does this look like to you? Just give me, you're not going to offend us.
Events.
What?
Events.
Events?
Yeah.
Yep. We got a lot of events, which is fine. We have 30-something ministries, so there's going to be a lot of things happening, right? But we went from events, okay? What else does it, I mean, I would say busy.
You handle snakes.
We handle snakes, yep. Yep, we are. What denomination? Is it Pentecostal? Okay, well, yeah. Does it look busy? Does it look disorganized? There's really no unity.
It doesn't look cohesive.
There's no cohesive. There's no clarity of messaging.
Even like you said, from the colors, the styles,
everything. Right.
Kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't have noticed until you said that.
Correct. But you don't notice because you're not a designer, right? You're not looking at colors all day. I hate the way these two things look with a passion because it goes against the grain of my creative DNA, right? But that's still not the most important thing, which we're going to get to in a second. But just looking at it, we went from this to this. Okay. So what do you notice now? What does this look like?
It's less busy.
Far less busy? Mm-hmm. Less busy, more... There's breathing room. Now, I did a little bit of psychology. I butted everything together, right? And then made it look more clean to create some bias. But...
More people.
That's a big one. Those are things I'm intentional with. This video, Jamie Dry, if you don't know her, she's a rock star. She's like her doctorate. She's criminal justice. She's a single mom. She adopted 5 kids. She's probably the second best female vocalist I know. Have you heard her sing?
Yeah.
She's insane. Okay. So she loves kids with a passion. This video received like 300 something likes. Blew everything out of the water that we've ever done, and all it was her telling her story and how to get connected and fostering and adopting and how she's excited to take this next step. Not once did she say, hey, come on out to Divine Nest where we're going to have this and this and this and here's the time and here's this. None of that was present in the video. And this blew out of the water all other pieces of content we had because we focused on gospel messaging and intentional storytelling. Okay? The rest of it is really pastoral stuff. This is a gospel video. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. It's the gospel. There's Jamie again. But this was an event, but we were recapping on how Jesus used this event. Okay? This is a worship video. Okay? A song that's talking about Christ. Hey, Jamie Patton, do your thing. Practical tips. Share. Are we good? I know we're chit-chatting.
Land in the plane.
Okay.
Land in the plane. Okay. Yeah, it's because Josh talks too much. Practical tips. Share testimonies, behind the scenes, event ministry highlights. Yes, we can still talk about events, but we're going to do so very, 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 very selectively and very, very strategically. Because if you're a church like us that has those 30 ministries and each of them have multiple events, all we're going to be telling people is, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Yeah. And then it's just going to bog it down. And really, the socials, Facebook, Instagram, the algorithm does not like those things. They do not code it in a bucket called entertainment. You know what they do put in their entertainment bucket? The gospel. So actually, pastoral clips of like guys like Micah talking, Instagram, Facebook, whatever they do on their back end operations, they see it and they don't go, oh, that looks like Jesus. They go, well, that's pretty entertaining to watch. Let's push that up. So if we can leverage whatever's going on behind the scenes in socials and it's for the sake of Christ, mm-hmm. then why in the heck not? Like, let's just do that. Use videos, reels for reach. Don't neglect static photos or posts for depth. Make content reusable. So if you create something awesome, use it again later. That's okay. You will find on North Road, I'll do a post, and then maybe a week later, I take it and I share it back to our story. So it rebumps it up again. It gets more engagement going. Mm-hmm. Okay? There was a video of Matt Barta. He was talking about maybe forgiveness or something. It got like 10,000 views. I'm going to share that again, and it'll probably bump it up to like 1,200 because if people need to hear more about forgiveness. Okay? Your socials aren't a bulletin board. Didn't those one references look like a bulletin board?
Yeah.
If we scale that down, I think about Ramsey Creek, my home church that I grew up going to. Love the church. They have a bulletin board on the hallway, out in the hallway, that no one has changed. I'm convinced for 200 years. There's push pins everywhere. There's photos everywhere. But isn't that what Instagram kind of looked like? Like a messy bulletin board. How is anyone going to find anything unless they take the pin out and then they move one of the things? Ramsey Creek's awesome, right? I don't know. There's actually a Rod Omess quote coming up. So you would appreciate this. Okay. It turns out that people prefer gospel messaging, as does the algorithm. So why not? I already talked about that. Lead with substance, not the event reminder. So we're still going to talk about events, and here's how we do it. This was actually post-event. A little context. North Road had an event called Homecoming. It was a celebration of like our, I don't know, 12-year anniversary. Yes, there were bounce houses. Yes, there were, you know, candy. Yes, there were ministry tables set up. Yes, it was a big, awesome thing. And I could have, on this post, I could have put a little pin and a bubble and a balloon, and I could have said, Homecoming, 6 to 8 p.m., be there, bring your friends, bounce house, all this stuff. But even with your event reminders, don't remind people of the event. Remind people of Jesus and the work that he's done and the work that he's doing through an event like Homecoming. So after the event, I didn't lead with, Homecoming was awesome, see you soon. I said, hey, just a glimpse, a small snapshot of what the future holds. This space will be more than a building. It's going to be a gathering place for our people and the community, a safe space to build relationships and spark gospel conversations. We acquired a new building. We're moving into this campaign, but we still have to have our foundation being in Christ. He's the one. Like, if he's not doing it, then what are we trying to do, right? What you draw people with is what they're going to be drawn to, okay? A wise monk named Rod Omess. If you guys don't know Rod, he's probably the greatest man in this room, okay? Just saying. Do you agree with that, Sam?
He's a good man.
Very good man, yeah. I don't know, he may have been quoting someone else when he said this, but he's like, if you're going to draw people with bounce houses, guess what happens when your bounce houses go away? They're going to leave. Okay, if you draw people with Jesus and they are saved and their hearts regenerate, are they going to leave? No. And they might, but they might go plant a church or something, right? So we want to be intentional with what we're pushing out first, bringing it together. Here we go. Because Sam's still tapping his foot over there. The core message, live stream is your door. Okay, that's the door. That's what your live stream is. Your website is the welcome mat. I did not come up with these analogies. ChatGPT probably did the same. Nice. Social media is the gospel conversation. You get to talk with people. So preach to them. Be evangelistic with them. All three should work together to point people to Jesus and community. Okay? Action steps. Here you go. Just pick one of the items from today to improve upon in the next 30 days. Is that you rebranding? Maybe. Did you look at my Instagram, the bulletin board kind of aesthetic? Look back at yours. Is yours like that? Do you have an Instagram? If not, make one. Go for it. Okay? Again, Paul uses sandals and 400 something miles walking up and down, and he was a tent maker. But if he lived today, would he own a car? He probably would, right? He would have used his tools. So if you're not using socials, get on it. You're missing opportunities. Action steps continued. Ask, if someone encounters our church online, do they know who we are, how to connect? Have they heard the name of Jesus? More so than insert church name here. Your priorities, right? Cheat code. Here's a good one. Take a picture of this. Please take a picture of this. Brady Shear. So going back to kind of our credibility, Josh and I did not make up any of this strategy. We did not sit there in a room together and be like, how can we do what we do best because we're awesome. We followed the example of a guy named Brady Shear who is really stinking awesome. He has a company called, is it Good Church Co., I think? Is that right?
Yes.
Something like that? Something? I don't know.
Church Co.?
Church Co. Is that the name of it?
I think that might be his.
That might be his. Okay.
We'll tell you for sure. Yeah. If you send us an email, we'll make sure we get it.
But nonetheless, Brady Shear is an expert in the field. He works with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches all across the United States, probably beyond, and he has a whole team of people that develop church strategies. He's the kind of psychopath that will analyze all of your numbers and break down why this post did not perform well and why this one did. And he lays it all out. So we use him all the stinking
time. He's a fantastic Instagram follow. If you guys do have Instagram, go and check his page out. He has a lot of really, really helpful tips.
Yes. Yes.
Tricks for how to run your own pages.
Yep. And I think that's clickable too, but for the sake of time, we won't. You know what? Good idea. I'm going to, when you get my email at the end, if you want the entire slideshow, how about that? I'll just email it to you. Okay. Is that good? Technology. Q&A. Oh, wait.
Get that. Get your phone.
Any questions that you guys have? Anything at all? Nothing?
Again, for sake of time, we do have our emails up at the end. So you guys can email us.
They're like
your phone numbers, call us, whatever you guys need.
Were we clear? Were we clear on what to do? Okay.
Very good.
Helpful-ish?
Yes.
Okay, good. Sweet. You can clap in a second. We got a couple more. get your phones out.
Oh.
Ready? Resources we frequently use. And I'll get there you go. Take a picture of that. We didn't deep dive into any of these things, really, but we can if you want. If you want to have a convo with us, we'll do that. And that's not exhaustive. There's more things we could share, too. That's me. My hair is still really curly, but it changed over, like, that was straight up, like, brother hair right there. I'm just saying. I would pick it out, and it would hold it without hairspray. You would have loved it, Trisha. You would have been all about that.
I love afros.
Body and volume is great. Yep, so that's my email. Can I zoom in?
I'm never doing a funny pose for staff photos.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You did it on your own, bro.
I did.
I'm like, hey, smile. And you're like, okay. So, Josh, again, I do, if it's photo, video, social media, hit me up. I'll help you out where I can. I'm not an expert. Like Dr. Allen was saying, he's like, we're all learners, right? I am learning every single day. Josh is learning every single day. Peace. That's your song. That's exit music. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you.